football on Off the Ball.
You called them a disgrace earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'll call them a disgrace again. I'm amazed at this idea that, like, Messi is somehow, like, the player who's got a lot to answer for. It's all the others have a lot to answer for.
Join in the obsession.
It is All-Ireland Hurling Final Day 2026. It is World Cup Final Day 2026. I'm John Duggan. This is Off the Ball Sunday on News Talk. Thank you for tuning in, folks. You're very welcome to the show. I always say at the start of every programme, we hope you're doing great around the country. And to be honest, how could you not feel great on a sporting day like this? It is Limerick versus Galway in the hurling decider. Spain to play Argentina in football's showpiece at 8 o'clock this evening, Irish time. How are we going to cover all of this over the next 6 hours on your radio before we go off air at 7? Now, after the news round, it is a Sunday paper review with journalists Vincent Hogan and Roy Curtis to look at the best sports writing on this day of national celebration. Then it's off to Croke Park for the build-up with the legendary Tommy Welsh, a 9-time All-Ireland winner and All-Star with Kilkenny. He'll be joined by our Gaelic Games correspondent Tommy Rooney, and when the game begins, we'll have updates from the stadium and from another ex-All-Ireland winner with Kilkenny, Aidan Taggy Fogarty, here in studio. Then after the full-time whistle goes and the trophy presentation, Tommy Welsh and Taggy will reflect on everything we've witnessed. We'll also then have the former Republic of Ireland international Keith Tracy in studio to preview the World Cup final, which takes place at 8 o'clock in New Jersey between Spain and Argentina. Today also marks the final round of golf's oldest major championship, the Open, at Royal Birkdale. We'll be across everything that happens. You won't miss a thing. And if you want to WhatsApp us today, you can. 087 9180 180 is the number. 087 9180 180. Shane Hannon, Monaghan's finest, with me on this great day for the news round. How are you doing, Shane?
Good afternoon, John. At the end of the show yesterday, I think you described today as potentially the greatest day ever in sport. And at the time, I thought, is that hyperbole? But it's not. I'm struggling to think of a day where, certainly from an Irish perspective, because naturally we love our hurling in this country, because it is hurling country, and we love our golf in this country as well. And we have Shane Lowry potentially in with a chance of winning later on today. We'll get to that shortly. But to have it as well, coinciding with the World Cup final, and what a World Cup final we have in store potentially. It's as we said yesterday, it's why we are sports fans, John, days like this.
It's a different narrative. June 17th, 1994, and ESPN did a documentary, 30 for 30, on it, when you had all these things happening in the United States on the one day. It was the first day of the World Cup in 1994 there, when Germany played Bolivia. You had Arnold Palmer's final round at the US Open. You had the New York Rangers winning the Stanley Cup and the celebration in New York. You had the NBA Finals were on that day. I think it was Game 5. And then you had the O.J. Simpson car chase. So you had all that. Jeez. Everything happened on June the 17th, 1994. Some for good and not so good reasons. But this, like last year on the hurling final day was the final day of the Open at Port Rush on our island. And we thought that was a magical day. But just add on the World Cup final every 4 years. Greatest show on earth. I watched 10 of them, and I think I remember where I've been for every single one, back to 1986 when I was just so transfixed as a 7-year-old by the colour of the screen in the Azteca, where the World Cup's been back to this year. Diego Maradona, the green Germany, West Germany shirts, and then obviously the traditional Argentina shirts of light blue and white stripes, black shorts and white socks, and Diego Maradona, Lothar Matthäus going out for the whole game at it. Against each other, and then magic ball, just a magic ball from Maradona into Burruchaga when Argentina were 2-0 up, drawn level 2-2, and then Burruchaga, does he finish it? He finishes it. And you're thinking, this is just another world I'd love to be a part of, and here we are.
You certainly remember the 2018 final in Russia.
I certainly do. I was very privileged in my work, and I'll take it to another world to be able to go to, and it's really just, it's a thing you can't do now. You couldn't go to Moscow for a World Cup final because of the sadness of their the war that they've put in Ukraine. So France and Croatia, and you're thinking Mbappe's 19 years of age, and you think that he will have many World Cups, but it doesn't work out that way. And that's the thing for the Galway hurlers today. They might not get another chance.
Yeah.
They might not get another chance. And then the best World Cup final we've probably ever seen in Qatar 4 years ago, 3-3 draw, Argentina, France, and it goes to penalties, and Messi wins finally. And then he would have thought 10 years ago, he's never going to do it. Remember in Rio, didn't win it, beaten by Germany, and now he could win too.
Yeah.
So you just don't know. You just don't know what's around the corner.
Yeah. It's incredible. I was driving through Drumcondra at 10:30 this morning, and the the colour was immense even at that time.
Just actually on that, let's check in with our Get a Games correspondent, Tommy Rooney, because he was in studio with us earlier with Pat Kenny, and he's actually at Croke Park now. Good afternoon, Tommy.
Hi, John. Hi, Shane. How are we?
So Shane's talking about Drumcondra there. Have you seen many maroon jerseys, green jerseys? Who have you met? What are the sights and sounds early doors?
Well, if you can hear me now, I'm a little bit out of breath because after climbing over the press box and I'm walking up the top of the seventh tier to get to the very back of the stadium and look out on what I can see. So, Jesus. Nothing but green and white.
Altitude is like the Azteca.
Maroon and white. Thronging around Croke Park and just outside the Croke Park Hotel. A lot of thirsty people queuing for pints, John, already. So there's an unbelievable setup around Drumcondra. And even inside the ground here, like, I'm looking around me here and there's thousands of people dotted around. But they're working, do you know what I mean? So there's the lights people, there's sound DJs, there's stewards, there's reporters and sound engineers, there's photographers, there's the TV crew. There's loads of people doing little jobs that kind of go unseen, and they're the little bits that make it happen and make today go as well as it goes. Like the pitch team were prodding the sod a couple of minutes ago. They were finessing the lines on the pitch below us here. Everything looks absolutely immaculate. And, you know, you couldn't call this the calm before the storm. I was here at 11:45 and there was just a hive of activity in and outside the stadium. We're still 4 hours from throwing, or just about. And you know, the amount of people Shane mentioned there, 10 o'clock in the morning or 10:30, he's coming from Drumcondra. Like, could you imagine the roads coming up the M7 or the M6 this morning from Galway or Limerick, the trains, the buses, the crack in town last night? I met a pal in near where we work on Fade Street at about 6:30, and I stayed in town for an hour or two, and just the atmosphere was unbelievable. And it's just such a beautiful weekend, whether it's in July or it's in October or it's in August or September, wherever we have these days and these finals, they're glorious celebrations of who we are and what we are and what we love. And, you know, I'm just trying to imagine what it's going to be like in here at 3:29 p.m. And I'm in one of the highest parts of the stadium here, right at the back of the seventh tier. It's row Z, seat 6. That's where I'm sitting right now.
Right.
just above the press box. And what an incredible view. There isn't a bad seat in Croke Park.
No.
And at 3:29 p.m., when Colm Lyons puts the whistle to his mouth, the parades have been done, the anthem has been sung, there's going to be this split-second hush when the slitter is thrown in. That's what I can't wait for. There's going to be 82,300 spots in this stadium taken. And I'm sure there might be a couple of other stragglers that have got in that won't be counted. And it's just, today, there is no getting over how important and how beautiful and how glorious today is going to be, regardless of who ends up on the Hogan stand steps later with Liam McCarthy in their hands. And it does mean a lot, but there's so many other little things that go on before our winner is crowned later today.
Absolutely, and everybody deserves huge credit for that as well to make it all happen. I just love that it's uniquely ours, the sport of hurling. I mean, I'll always take what Tony Kelly did in 2024 to my, you know, twilight years, because the magic and the sport and pitch. And I was down at the 2015 final when Kilkenny played Galway, Tommy. He was down at the dugout. Like, I think the seat was literally behind Anthony Cunningham at the time. And I just couldn't get over, and you've been to so many finals, I couldn't get over the speed of the game at that level and the skill at that level. And you do see everything at a different vantage point wherever you are, and you get a different complexion wherever you go. But it's just top of the ground hurling conditions today. Can't wait for it. For Limerick, Tommy, look, they're going for 6 to 9 years. The greatest Limerick team since the 30s and 40s, McMackie's team. I suppose when you think about generational size, they've been game changers in the sport.
John, I just have to jump out of my seat here because there's a Limerick father and his daughter who are about to hop into their seat already on the seventh tier of Croke Park. I'd say you're the earliest in here, lads. Best of luck. Are you looking forward to today? We're just live on News Talk here. You're looking forward to it? Who do you think is going to win?
Limerick.
Fair play. What's your name? Holly. Best of luck, Holly. Have a great day. They opened up the turnstiles here, John, at 1 o'clock. So there's already people taking their spot. Like, can you imagine the tradition of being in here early this morning and coming up for the day with family? Imagine the memories that are being made here by
Yes.
Thousands and thousands of families around the country that it might be their first All-Ireland final together. It could be their last together. It could be their 50th together. It's just, it's such a beautiful thing. So I'm after forgetting your question here because I had to hop out of seat five and row
there. It's all right.
In the seventh year there. So give me it again.
Just on Limerick, this is a generational team. The best team since the 30s and 40s. And they've been game changers in the sport. I mean, they've revolutionised the sport. They brought it, like, there's just, like, Kilkenny were game changers when they were came around under Cody, and Limerick have been the same in a different way.
Oh, for sure. And, you know, there's so many different elements to this Limerick story. And I don't think it ends today, regardless of what happens. Regardless of whether John Kiely stays on or he doesn't, regardless of whether some of these generational hurlers in their 30s finish up today or not. John Kiely was at pains to point out Limerick's minor All-Ireland hurling success a couple of weeks back. They scored a goal and a point in injury time to beat Tipperary. And he spoke about seeing a young Hegarty on that minor team, a young Cian Lynch, a young Galan, that the hallmarks and the legacy of this current Limerick generation is paying off. And it's feeding through. And when I talk to Tommy Walsh later on, I'm going to talk about DNA. And I'm going to talk about DNA in more of a direct sense, right? In a kind of uncles and fathers or mammies and sons or, you know, the way that we're maybe raised or we're wired as people, how it affects us. But like DNA and culture in a county can feed through as well. And I fully believe you can change the DNA of a county. I believe you can change tradition and you can alter it for the better or for the worse. And what Limerick have done, you know, our colleague Arthur O'Dea has written a fabulous book. He's got another brilliant one coming out in a couple of months, by the way, on Mackey and Ring. But he's written a fabulous book on nine hurling lives around Limerick hurling and how they yearned for success for so long. Because they waited so long, up until 73. And then from 73 to 2018, there was another big gap. And these good times don't last forever. But it feels like what Limerick have built under Kiely and, you know, Kinnerk and Caroline Curd has been involved throughout. And JP in the background, JP McManus, there's no getting away from it. Has that an influence? But there's also been other stepping blocks along the way. There's been people who have worked at grassroots level that may not get the mentions or the shout-outs. There has been work done at club level. There's been coaches at under eights all the way through. Like that generation of Limerick hurlers, like it doesn't happen. It doesn't happen. It doesn't matter how good Kiely or Kinnerk or Curd are if these kids aren't coached from a young age to be who they are as men and as hurlers, from the Galway side, from the Limerick side, from the football side, from Mayo and from Kerry. It doesn't just happen because you're from a certain county. Like, it needs an awful lot of work at underage level all the way through to get them to a day like today, which is the greatest day in our calendar. And, you know, that generation of Limerick hurlers, they won't be defined by what happens today. But, man, do they want to win another All-Ireland title? It's 3 years. It must feel like an awful long 3 years since they won it. And on the flip side,
yes,
this young up-and-coming Galway side, they're yearning for success. They know they've got a manager who's sharp as a tack in Micheál Donoghue and Franny Ford, who's one of the finest coaches in the country. They know their game plan inside out. They know that it's worked, that they've caught teams on the hop, that they're maybe ahead of schedule, but they're not ahead of schedule. I'm telling you, they fully believe in that dressing room that there's an All-Ireland there for them today. And while it might be a little lazy to say it feels like the inverse of 2018, where the All-Ireland champions Galway were caught by a young up-and-coming Limerick side, this young Galway team, they're made of the right stuff and they have got quality operators around the field. And when we're in the middle of this absolutely beautiful game of hurling a little later, that mightn't be an absolute classic in terms of a scoreboard sense. I think it'll be an all-out war. It'll be a dogfight. And you're going to need beautiful hurlers, but you're going to need it in the gut as well today to get through today.
When I was growing up, we didn't have round robins and group stages in Munster and Leinster, and Galway would be into the semi-final. And what that meant was they would often shock a Cork or a Kilkenny or an Offaly and get into a final. But they've only won five of them, Tommy. I mean, it won since 1988 when Micheál Donoghue guided them 9 years ago. So like, it doesn't come around that often that they win this.
John, they don't. And there's only a certain couple of counties in the country that are spoiled for All-Irelands. You know, you're Dublin, you're Kerry, you're Kilkenny, you're Cork, you're Tipperary. Everyone else is scrapping. They're fighting for the scraps, you know? Like, and when I say spoiled, I don't mean that in a facetious way. They've worked hard for them and they've earned them over the years. But they're hard-won All-Irelands. They really are hard-won. And we know the beauty of this game. You play from where you're from and where you grow up and who your next-door neighbours to and brothers. Like, there's so many brothers on the panels today. Like, there's so many familial connections. Like, they're not handed out, you know, All-Ireland medals. They really aren't. And like when you're in a final, the opportunity you have, whether you're the underdog or you're the hot favourite, it is a 50-50 shot. And there is incredible opportunities here for the players, for the management teams from both sides, and also the supporters, because you really want to be driving home this evening or tomorrow with a smile on your face and an All-Ireland, another All-Ireland title to put beside your team's name.
Tommy, have you got a verdict, or would you rather not give one?
I tell you what, John, my verdict is that this game is going down to the last puck of the ball. In the last two games that Limerick have been involved in, Limerick have been behind in the 69th minute and they've ended up winning the game. If that happened again, I would not be surprised, because it's exactly what their minor All-Ireland winning side did in the All-Ireland minor winning final two. And it's in their DNA at the minute to get through games like that, and they've needed it, because they're not the Limerick side we saw in 21 and 22. They just aren't that same team. They're a slightly different team. They're still as dangerous, they're still as capable, they still have the quality. But I think it's going down to the wire, and that means that Galway are going to have a chance in injury time. And if Galway have a chance in injury time, we're going to do it. So again, I've got splinters on my backside here, because I am going to sit in the fence until a little closer to the throne.
Well, Tommy, get settled. I hope you do find an actual seat, and we'll chat to you later on.
Okay? Thanks, I'll see you later. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
Tommy Rooney there from Croke Park. Setting the scene beautifully.
Brilliant. Yeah, it's funny, people's different traditions, like going in, turnstiles open at 1 o'clock, and some people just straight in there and want to soak it all up. I can kind of understand that, particularly with young kids, you don't want to be around the hustle and bustle outside. But yeah, I can only imagine the nerves amongst Limerick and Galway supporters now as it gets closer and closer to throwing. And as you said, we'll build up with Tommy Welsh a bit later on as well. And we should mention the World Cup final, of course, reaches its conclusion tonight. The FIFA World Cup, Spain and Argentina facing off in New Jersey after 5 weeks and 102 matches to decide who will lift football's biggest prize. Argentina looking to become the first nation to successfully defend the World Cup since Brazil in 1962, while Spain are chasing their first title since 2010. Kickoff is at 8 o'clock Irish time. And of course, last night, England won the third, fourth place playoff or bronze medal match, whatever you want to call it, with a 6-4 win over France. Bukayo Saka scored a hat-trick in the 10-goal thriller to record their best men's World Cup finish since 1966.
I've done so many 4 a.m. matches, I said, I'm not doing this one.
I watched this game, John.
I deliberately didn't do it, because I don't want to my thinking about England to be, you know, I suppose, skewed by what doesn't matter, because what mattered was what happened during the week.
Mm. It was an incredible game of football to watch, and I don't know whether that gives more credence to having third, fourth place playoffs, or does the opposite. I actually think it's the opposite, because the only reason it was such an open game is because neither team really cares.
Mbappe now has got a lead now in the Golden Boot standings. You wonder.
Should he? And should
yeah,
he?
Yeah.
Should it count towards the Golden Boot?
We have FAI Cup match as well.
Yeah, we do indeed. The last of those FAI Cup second round ties taking place later on, John. It's a massive task for Talca Rovers from the Leinster Senior League. They've made the trip to the Ryan McBride Brandywell to face Derry City. That kicks off at 4 o'clock. I mentioned Shane Lowry earlier, but the Open has started, the final day of the Open at Royal Birkdale, and Shane Lowry has won over through his first hole, so back to 3 under par.
Too much to do, I think.
Possibly, and same for Rory, because Rory is 1 under for his round through 8 holes, but also on 3 under par. That's in a tie for 25th position, so that's what, 7 shots off the lead, held by American Sam Burns at 10 under par. He tees off in around an hour's time at 20 past 2, and he's 2 shots clear of a couple of players, Ryan Fox and Siwoo Kim, who are on 8 under par. And then you have a trio of players in 7
Cameron under. Young's doing well, 4 under through 5 to 7 under. So he's not out of it.
Yeah, certainly moves up the leaderboard
and
massively.
Scotty too.
Scotty Scheffler's there, 2 under through 2 for the day to sit on 6 under par.
Right.
It's okay. quite a nice looking leaderboard.
Like, if Sam Burns has been, look, he's very close to the US Open to, you know, reeling in Wyndham Clark. He's just had a baby, Sam, and there's a generally theory in golf called the nappy factor.
Yes.
Where if you have a child, you do well, and you generally feel so good about yourself that you end up winning tournaments.
It's kind of like when I became a father, John, I produced some of our best shows in the weeks thereafter. I have no idea if I did or didn't, but yeah, it's a good theory.
Always great show, Shane. Thank you. We have now the identity of the ladies' football finalists, we know them.
Yeah, we do indeed. Galway will face Kerry in this year's TG Carr All-Ireland Senior Football Final. Galway yesterday booked their place with a convincing 21-8 victory over Armagh, with 10 different players getting on the score sheet. Earlier yesterday, Kerry dethroned the defending champions Dublin with a comprehensive 216-19 win in Thurles. Captain Shifra O'Shea starred with 1-8 for the Kingdom as they raced into an early 9-point lead that they never really surrendered. The sides will meet in a repeat of the 2024 All-Ireland Final on the 2nd of August. Rashida Adeleke's hopes of qualifying for next month's European Championships are hanging by a thread. The 23-year-old withdrew from yesterday's 400 metres at the KBC Night of Athletics in Belgium, having also missed the qualifying standard in the 200 metres earlier this week. Adeleke now has just 1 weekend left to post qualifying time before the deadline for Birmingham Motorsport as well. Kimi Antonelli has a chance to extend his 25-point lead in Formula One's Drivers' Championship this afternoon, John. The Italian starts on pole position for the Belgian Grand Prix with Mercedes teammate and title rival George Russell in third. Red Bull's Max Verstappen goes from second. Lewis Hamilton is fifth, while Lando Norris 13th after getting a 10-place penalty. Lights out at Spa at 2 o'clock.
The Cura stages a card today from 1:40, good to firm ground. And I know Galway listeners who are on the way to Croker or maybe even at home are going to watch the match on television potentially. Might not have thought about the races yet, or racing fans around the country might not have thought about the Galway races, but we do have an event at the Galway races on the Tuesday before racing. There is an evening meeting. So it's on the Tuesday, 2 o'clock, Mary Mullins Bar near Eyre Square. Myself, special guest Joe Canning, will join myself and Johnny Ward and Barry Garrity, legendary jockey. So that's at 2 o'clock. And if you want to get tickets, $9.99 plus booking fees, offtheball.com/events for that Galway event, previewing the Galway racing on the Tuesday and the rest of the festival, and obviously having a great chat. And you might be chatting to Joe Canning about Galway All-Ireland hurling final win. It's Tuesday week, the 28th of July, Shane.
I know you're going to start getting to predictions now, John. We often reach the end of the news round on big days like this and try and rack
up.
Well,
you predicted
brains.
Argentina before the World Cup, Shane.
I did. I have to stick with them, in fairness. I do think the passion and heart will potentially get them over the line this evening. It could be an extra time sort of vibe this evening, potentially. Maybe penalties, but it's going to be a really close game. Two very different teams in many ways, but Argentina have just pulled themselves out of the fire on so many different occasions against Egypt and Cape Verde and against England as well, and they've done it in different ways, but I just think there's something about this Argentina team and the way in which they revolve around Messi. But I think they'll do it, John.
Tommy Martin was very nice on social media there, the Virgin Media television presenter and Irish Examiner columnist, to say that I said before the tournament that midfields win tournaments. And I thought it might be Portugal, but I think Ronaldo was a negative for Portugal. I think they could have gone very close if they hadn't had Ronaldo, because I think they would have been freed up. And for that reason, I think Spain will win it.
Okay.
I think their midfield will win the tournament, and I think Rodri might be lifting that trophy this evening. And the hurling, I just hope it's a great game.
Yeah. You're going to sit in the fence.
I'm going to sit in the fence on that. I wouldn't be surprised if it went to extra time.
Yeah. I've got my family, as I said to you yesterday.
Yes.
So I'm going to head towards the tribesmen.
Well, my late mother was from Limerick, so I'll have a bit of a green and white tinted view on it, but obviously not professionally.
No.
Shane, thank you so much for the news round.
Cheers, John.
Off the Ball Sunday here on News Talk. We're on air till 7. We're going to be back to Croke Park with Tommy Welsh to preview the hurling from 2:30. And after the break is a Sunday pay-per-view sponsored by Apple Green this week, with two doyens of Irish sports journalism, Roy Curtis and Vincent Hogan, to go through all the best writing of the day. We're back after this.
Football on Off the Ball.
You called them a disgrace earlier, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I'll call them a disgrace again. I'm amazed at this idea that like Messi is somehow like the player who's got a lot to answer for. It's all the others have a lot to answer for.
Join in the obsession.
Warning, the following ZipRecruiter radio spot you are about to hear is going to be filled with F-words.
When you're hiring, we at ZipRecruiter know you can feel frustrated, forlorn even, like your efforts are futile, and you can spend a fortune trying to find fabulous people, only to get flooded with candidates who are just fine. Fortunately, ZipRecruiter figured out how to fix all that. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/zip. With ZipRecruiter, you can forget your frustrations because we find the right people for your roles fast, which is our absolute favorite F word. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day.
Fantastic.
So, whether you need to hire 4, 40, or 400 people, get ready to meet first-rate talent. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/zip to try ZipRecruiter for free. Don't forget, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip. Finally, that's ZipRecruiter.com/zip.